Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and you're listening to the Affair Recovery EMSW, EMSO, and a library call. And it is the, I believe, hit the date, 6th of October, 2014. Excuse me, I feel discombobulated. So here's our first question for the day. My wife and I had a two-year affair, my wife had a year-long affair with a mutual friend, co-worker. It's been 19 months since discovery, and we've been married for 21 years. We never separated. We both intended to save the marriage. We attended an EMS weekend about 1 year ago. I believe I've forgiven her. At least I've forgiven her vertically. I care for her and want to want her, yet simply cannot seem to advance past this stage of resistance. It seems like I have an inordinate amount of triggers, and I find myself moving from pretty good mood to one of anger, depression, and loneliness. I look at her sometimes and deeply wonder who that person is. My personal preference would be to be separated. I just want to be by myself. However, I truly don't want to hurt her any more than she's hurting, and I don't want to hurt our four children. They do know, they don't know. Yet, if I tell her how I'm feeling in any form, it hurts her. She's unable to be supportive or encouraging. I'm not accusing her of anything. She simply does not have the ability at this point to be empathetic. So, I feel more alone when I'm with her than I do when I'm physically by myself. Being with her makes me anxious. I can get to a place where, when I'm on my own, in which my heart feels tender and loving, but as I'm returning home from a trip or time apart, I get anxious and would prefer not to be with her. I don't want to continue doing this to her. What should my next steps be to heal? My first thought as you talk about this is to remember that you're at the one-year point, and it's almost always a time when it gets more difficult and intrusive thoughts continue. So at least make allowances for the fact that you're at a very difficult time period. I would look to about a 15 or 16 month period and see if you're not doing better at that time. Like I said, it's a matter of trending better or trending worse. If she's having difficulty being empathetic, I would also suggest marriage counseling if you're not doing that. Or I would suggest something like hope for healing for her to help her work through her own pain and self-forgiveness and learn how to, I think, be more responsive to you, to help you. Obviously, the whole piece of her, are you sensing her being distant from you or at least not being able to hear you makes it difficult. The final thing I would suggest is you begin doing personal work and looking at maybe your own life, sometimes doing things like Al-Anon and 12-step work, maybe through Celebrate Recovery, where you're working the steps, not so much focusing on your pain or focusing on her, but instead focusing on how you can be someone that you really respect, that you look at your own inventory, look at your own patterns. And oftentimes, as you begin to take your own inventory and just look at patterns you've got in your life and your own personal defects of character and the people you've wounded, it certainly makes it easier to see what she's done in a different light and to move you farther toward forgiveness. Now, I hope that's able to help you in the journey. I know this must be difficult, and I do wish you well, that you're able to come to a place of peace, and the two of you, you can be comfortable together once again. So our next question, ambivalence. It's been 4 months since discovery of my husband's 8-week affair, 9 months if you include flirting and attraction. We attended EMS Weekend and are currently in Married for Life and individually attended Harboring Hope and Hope for Healing. My husband's committed to our marriage and our family. I've gone from very motivated to saving the marriage to feeling ambivalent about our future. My husband was a pillar of integrity in our family and community. Now, I'm unable to see him as anything other than an emotional abuser and manipulator. Oddly enough, I'm struggling now with the hurt caused by his AP. His AP has dealt with a broken childhood home, a boyfriend 16 years her senior that threatened her life, requiring a restraining order, followed by a one-year marriage to an alcoholic man who she reports physically hurt her, followed by a pregnancy with a man she did not love, following a fling she was in the divorce process with her first husband. She married the man from her fling and was raising what appeared to be a nice family when she started seeing my husband. What I can't understand is how my husband could know of his AP's tumultuous life and promise never to leave or hurt her, yet once he was caught in the affair, he left her so fast I don't think she even knew what hit her. He was able to do this even after he interacted with her young children, tried to support her desire to get close to our oldest daughter, and even brought her close to a certain member of his family without their knowledge of the affair. He said he wished she would marry him after only 4 weeks of intimacy, yet as soon as he was caught, she appeared to mean absolutely nothing to him. While I understand that affair thinking is not normal thinking, I cannot get my mind around the fact that I'm married to someone who could do such an awful thing to me, his own children, his supposed forever love, and so many other people. Well, I don't think we started with the strongest foundation. We both brought our own baggage to the marriage. The main reason I married this man was his integrity and morality. And now I married a man who appears to have neither. I'm not sure I can see a future with someone who is able to do such awful things. In a very strange way, I would tell you the fact that he responded as he responded really does speak in some ways to his character and morality. Not making excuses, but people do get involved where they become deceived. And in that self-deception, they totally betray their own heart, they betray their own integrity, they betray their own morality. And once that spiritual slippage begins, they just slide down that hill. Oftentimes, when they begin to come into the light, it's shocking to them how far they've gone. One of the things Jesus taught was, the eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is good, the light within you will be good. But if your eye is bad, the light within you will be darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, he said, how great is the darkness? And when somebody begins to slip in their own morality, in their own heart, their own desire to love, they go completely self-centered and ultimately begin to use people. It's not that he found his forever love. In the long run, he found somebody in that situation that he was using to make himself feel better. After exposure, obviously, he repented and came back to where he needed to be. And that is not something that's uncommon. I know it's really devastating to know that he could have gone there, but it doesn't totally undo everything about who he is. One thing you might want to begin looking at is the way he's responding now. It's got to be difficult to trust that given the fact that he was able to fall the first time. But most likely, you'll be able to see that he began to fall out with his own, spirituality, his own morals and his own integrity long before he fell into this affair. Hopefully, he's back at a place where he's walking as he really is, someone back into that true self. But it takes intentionality to begin to look and discern whether or not somebody's being honest. I would just suggest that you at least try to see if there's a consistency, if that integrity and that character may not still be showing up. Even Peter, who I would consider to have had much integrity, came to a place where he betrayed Jesus. So I know that people can fall into things, they can fall away, and yet they can come back. And I know that probably doesn't solve all the angst and the fear and the hurt and the mistrust. That can only be healed over time. But I do hope over time he's able to at least reveal to you whether his heart is in the right place or not. Ultimately, people fall into what he did because of a hardness of heart, where they harden and like I say, they betray their own heart long before they betray someone else. Over time, hopefully you'll see something different. I also think depending on how far you're into all of this, if you're close to the one-year anniversary, you'll find that it's more difficult and there are more triggers. So also look at where you're at in the process and whether you're personally going through a season where the intensity of intrusive thoughts is up. Hopefully that can help you as you move forward. And I do hate that you've been hurt like that, and do pray that you'll begin to find healing. So, next question. Rick, I'm the betrayed spouse and found out about my husband's affair almost 6 months ago. In the process of trying to heal over the last 6 months, I was reading and doing exercises suggested by books on verbal abuse, narcissism, and codependency to help myself heal. As a part of the exercises, I wrote down a long list of over 50 or so wounds or offenses that my husband had said or done over the years that are still hurtful to me when I think about them. A few of these were items addressed at the EMS weekend in our small group, and I received healing through my expression of hurts and him validating it and asking for forgiveness. My question is, what should I do about these awful thoughts or things he said and has done to hurt me? I don't want to cause more harm to him or me. Should I go through each one of these items on the list following your format for wounds and offenses and share them with my husband to give him an opportunity to validate my pain and apologize? I fear he would be overwhelmed with grief and discouragement if we did this all at once. Should I just address one per day or one per week? Or should I talk to an empty chair and explain my pain vicariously? I think I would begin by asking your husband what would work best for him, and if it would even be helpful to have a third party involved. I have had couples that have done kind of one per day and worked through them that way, because ultimately their mate really wanted them to be able to heal. I think it really depends a lot on what you need. Sometimes people can do this sort of healing by breaking each one of those types of hurts into categories, whether it be verbal abuse or other things, and then dealing with maybe one or two or three primary ones in that category of abuse where they can at least sense that their mate for that particular category of offense is I guess, repentant, where they feel horrible and they can validate that. And oftentimes, that validation for specific categories will help let go of the rest of them, just knowing that in that particular area, they're grieved and they recognize it and they can understand your pain, which may allow you the ability to release the rest of them without having to process them. If it feels he's unable to do that, then potentially, again, talking with another person to process through them. But I suspect working with your mate is going to be better. And possibly there's a combination where you can deal with categories, and then you might be able to do some empty chair work. But I'd certainly begin by asking him what would work and offer some alternatives, because I'm sure he really would like to help you heal. At the same time, you want to keep it healthy, and you want to remind him that this isn't about him, that you really need help, and ask if he will avoid moving into shame so that he can be present and help you heal, so that the two of you can begin to move forward. One other thing that may be helpful for you is your own 12-step work. I guess looking at some of your own past history, your own patterns, not to excuse anything he did. I'm actually talking back from the beginning of time. I know that for me, whenever I'm working program like the fourth step and the fifth step in like Al-Anon or Celebrate Recovery or AA, those things are very useful in terms of me shifting the focus somewhat to ways that I also injure. And sometimes focusing on that also helps with the ability to forgive. I do hope that gives you some direction and can help you heal and the two of you continue to move forward. Final question. Hi, Rick. My husband and I have been married for almost 13 years. This is my first marriage and his second. I'm the betrayed spouse, and D-Day was nearly 16 months ago. My husband and his ex-wife were high school sweethearts when they married at a young age. 2 years into their marriage, his ex-wife cheated on him with a coworker for nearly 4 months, and their marriage ended 11 years later. I had never asked my husband about his ex-wife and her affair, thinking it was none of my business. Yet before we got married, he had told me that if I ever wanted to be unfaithful to him, to have enough respect in letting him know that I was going to stray and leave the marriage. 2 years into our marriage is when he started his affair that lasted for 10 years. I can't seem to understand how someone who's been cheated on previously is now the cheater. I asked my husband how he and his ex-wife had dealt with the infidelity issue at the time, and he said that they patched up all the broken areas of their marriage and moved forward. They didn't seek counseling. They just decided to work on the marriage all on their own. He claims that his ex-wife was not the reason why their marriage fell. He said he was just unhappy. I told him that it sounded like he just swept his wife's infidelity under the rug. He claims her affair had no impact on him whatsoever. My question is, why would someone who's been through this ordeal before inflict what I believe to be a lifelong death sentence to his current wife and children that he claims to love and make him happy? I guess my first response is, I don't know that it's always a lifelong death sentence. I would hope that in the long run, if the two of you do the right work, you ought to be able to heal. But it's not the work he did in his first marriage, which basically was denial, sweeping things under the carpet. You do need something that's healthy that can heal those wounds, but also really process through them. One thing that happens when someone is cheated on is the sanctity of marriage is somehow tainted. And past affairs, when someone is cheated on, really does have a profound impact on them. And because somehow in their own mind, in their own value system, again, that marriage ideal is somewhat diminished, and that does leave someone more vulnerable. Also, if there are what I would call inner vows, just kind of decision not to do something, it increases the probabilities of something like that happening. Additionally, something that he said early on, which was, if you ever decide to stray, please let me know, have the decency to do that. It doesn't sound like he said the same thing back to you, so the focus was still on his being hurt. And when someone's already been betrayed, it's easier for them to justify in their own mind doing it. It's called being abuse reactive. And that's one of the reasons that, again, people who have been betrayed are more likely ultimately to betray, whether in this marriage, in that marriage, or the next marriage. Just like someone who comes from a family where one of the parents is abusive, they will swear they'll never be like that person, or somebody who has an anger issue. And it's that vow not to do that in the long run that often sets them up for that sort of behavior. I do believe you're right, again, when he says he swept it under the rug and that it has no impact on him. I would want him to explore that because without healing that piece of him, part of me is concerned that he's going to be limited in his ability to have empathy towards you just because his own resentment or distorted view of what's happened, his own denial, keeps him from being present for you. I hope that at least gives you some direction of how, or at least why, this has happened, and maybe some ideas of how he can look at things to help you, or maybe how the two of you can work with someone else to begin to heal the relationship. So that's all of our questions today. I want to thank everybody for joining the call, and I look forward to speaking with you next week. To healing.